Good morning. Hope everybody's enjoying the change in weather. Normally I'd have just had a t-shirt on, but it felt so cool this morning I thought, well, I could put a suit jacket on. Coming home last night, driving down Highway 5 at about 8:15, 8:30, something like that. Mary and I passed pickup after pickup pulling a boat. So I know what everybody was doing yesterday, and I have a feeling some of them decided it was so much fun they got up this morning and went back. Because they're not here. It's like hunting season, the first day. Well, I've been spending some time trying to really hear the Lord and discover what are the messages that He has for me to speak. And this is one that I received some time ago, and I was debating whether or not to preach it here, but it really does fit. And I think there's somebody or a few people here that it's really going to fit very well. It's really for all of us, and it's something that we all do. I've entitled it, I Want a Happy Meal and a Side Order of Anxiety. Now, first let me say that I'm not a big fan of McDonald's, and I never have been, but I do follow marketing. And I enjoy looking at the marketing techniques that different places use, especially fast food, you know, Have It Your Way, Burger King, and all this stuff. But they come up with all these things to try to get you to go there. But there's been a number of brilliant innovations with McDonald's over the years, and perhaps the most brilliant, at least in my estimation, is the Happy Meal. This is a product that's marketed mainly towards kids, we all know, although adults can get one and get the little prize thing too in the cardboard box if you want. You can frequently get the same food at discounted prices, lower prices. You can get a hamburger and fries, often on sale, quite cheap. But it's not in the Happy Meal container. It costs more than the non-Happy Meal version to have that container. Why? Well, they're selling happiness, aren't they? That's really what they're selling to the children. McDonald's inflates the price far beyond what need be, just for the fries and the burger. Now, some parents have attempted, and I mean attempted, to get the children to stop asking for the Happy Meal, but they'll actually try to bribe them. They'll say, we'll get you the same hamburger and the same french fries, and we'll give you some money, and you can go over to this store or that store, and you can get what you want. Well, what happens is, you end up with them kids screaming in front of that counter at McDonald's. I want a Happy Meal! I want a Happy Meal! And everybody at McDonald's just turns to look and see who that tight-fisted, penny-pinching parent is, who refuses to give that child the Happy Meal of their desire. And then the old buddy, you know, the embarrassment sets in. Of course, they give them the Happy Meal. And the children sit down. And they eat their Happy Meal. But, you know what? They don't stay happy for long, do they? They eat their Happy Meal. They're happy that they got it. The parent gives in and buys each child that meal of their desire. That happiness does not last, though. It fades away pretty quickly. They think they will have happiness if they simply get what they want. You know? They actually believe that what they have or what they possess will make them happy. Now, only a child would do that, right? No. Only a child could be so silly to believe that buying something could give you happiness. No. Think again. When we get older, our happy meals just cost more. I believe that all of us suffer from the same hunger inside, the same desire, the same want. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with happiness. And it's good to be happy, you know. If you have to vote, I think I'll wake up and be sad today. I don't think so. We want to be happy. Being happy feels better. People respond to you better. Because if you walk around all day, people don't respond well. Most of them will go, ooh, I don't need that. But if you smile, I'll just go to the grocery store and smile at everybody you see. You know, the ones that are freaking out will probably try to throw a can of vegetables at you or something. But most people will smile back and say, hello, howdy, having a good day. Because happiness does that. Well, it's good to be happy. There's a real problem, a real deep problem. And it has to do with the fact that we are not where we belong. This world is not our home. Since the fall of man, we have been under this curse and lacking in happiness, the happiness that comes from being truly at home. Truly at home and in the presence of the living God. We have frequent feelings of this hunger inside of ourselves, this dissatisfaction, a nagging feeling that eats at you. It may cause us to seek and expend a lot of energy looking for that happy meal, that thing to make us feel good. Something is missing, and we attempt to feed that empty spot with all kinds of things, money, jobs, relationships, drugs, activities, success, food, you name it. If I just get this, it will make me happy. The form of the happy meal may be different for each one of us at different times, but the hunger is the same for us all. After we seek out, find, and then acquire and get our chosen happy meal, it does not satisfy as we believed it would. We may be happy just for a second, just for a moment. This is frustrating. But it's not the kind of frustration and disappointment that occurs when things go wrong. No, this is a frustration and disappointment that occur when things go right. Why doesn't it make me happy? Why doesn't it work? We're seeking to stimulate something inside, that powerful reward response in our brain, the dopamine, norepinephrine, those chemicals you guys in Ohio will talk about that stuff. These things of life that cause us to feel happy. The endorphins and the Keflon, that's the heroin and oxycodone stuff, that ease our pain and suffering and bring about that plastic look of joy on the face. I think I'll take another pill. Artificial happiness, artificial joy. But then there comes this feeling and belief that when all is right, it is not enough. It's just not enough. And people will desperately search for more and more and more. They realize something's missing. They're not sure what it is. Over and over in our lives, we believe that if we just get there, we'll be happy. When we turn 16 and give her a driver's license, oh, we'll be happy. That didn't work for me. I had my Chevelle Malibu I had bought before I got my driver's license, 64 Super Sport. I got it. Second week, slipped on the ice at a park car. Lost my license. Short-term happiness. I didn't even get dry roads to go out and race. It was all slippery. And by the way, as soon as I got my license back, I got clocked at 90 and a 75 on the interstate, so I lost them again. It took me 3 years to get a permanent license. Those airplanes that clock you, they're really accurate. They're down to the mile. When we finish college, we'll get that job. We'll be there. We'll get married. That's all I need. We'll be there. These are all wonderful things. Don't get me wrong. And there should be a sense of joy and accomplishment to go with it. But I'm not talking about these things. I'm talking about that internal push, that internal drive to truly be happy. This world is so overrated. And experience in the world is overrated. It's not our home. We don't belong here. The Bible tells us that we are strangers and aliens. We're not of this world. In the 80s, Petra did this song called Not of This World. It said, we're pilgrims in a strange land. We're so far from our homeland. With each passing day, it seems so clear. The world will never want us here. We're not welcome in this world of wrongs. We're foreigners that don't belong. Just think how true. And Solomon says, all of this is vanity, vanity, meaningless, meaningless, chasing after the wind. All this effort, hope to be happy, to get there, to arrive. What will satisfy us? Not a Snickers. Although Snickers and a Diet Coke used to be my favorite break food. Not a Happy Meal. Not the job. Not the experience. And I think I told this story here before. I once had a roommate at Iowa State in a graduate dorm who was addicted to skydiving, and every week he'd work all week in a high-end restaurant as a waiter, collect tips. And he takes the tips, and every weekend he would jump out of the plane as many times as he can, fall to his death, and pull the ripcord. Now that's adrenaline rush. So he was addicted to adrenaline. And when it would rain and the plane wouldn't take him up, he had withdrawal. He was grumpy. Well, you know that happens with us when we can't get our Happy Meal. The kids at the counter, I'm sorry, we're out of Happy Meal boxes. Everybody in that county, in that area of the county, knows they're out of Happy Meal boxes for the noise that they make. This world was never meant to satisfy our hunger. God has put us to. The world has fallen. We're in this fallen condition. And, you know, we have momentary joy, but we cannot experience the happiness that we're craving, the hunger that we have inside. We can't feel that. We are designed to be in the presence of the living God. We are designed and engineered to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, not in this world. Therefore, that striving and chasing is kind of foolishness. Paul said that he had found the secret to contentment. In Philippians 4:11-13, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. I can find the peace and the joy that I need through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was His strength, the Apostle Paul proclaimed that. His contentment. The craving that we all have is for heaven, our real home, and the presence of the Lord. If we would only recognize that the craving we have, after all, this craving is right and good. There's nothing wrong with the craving. It's our craving for Jesus Christ and our home in heaven, our heavenly home. We misinterpret it as needing something, an event, the activity, a drug, a food, a happy meal. And so we become desperate to go after that. Instead of recognizing, you know, Lord Jesus, You are my happy meal. You are my joy, You are my strength, You are my peace. If we recognize that, we might not give in to those compulsions and waste our time, waste our energy, waste our resources, our money, our efforts. If we desire this happiness, and may at times demand it, and demand it from others, it is never right for an individual to demand from their spouse that which can only come from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It is never appropriate for an individual to demand from their spouse that which can only come from Jesus Christ. Over and over as I work with married couples, this is what I find. This confusion. You make me happy. I sit down with people in premarital counseling and they'll say, I don't want anyone who won't make me happy. Make me happy. The command, you control my emotions or you're out of here. You bring me joy when I want joy. You're responsible for me. You're responsible for how I feel. What bondage is that? To be enslaved to the emotions of another individual. Horrifying. I see it a lot as I work with couples. It comes about in the most biblical way. Doesn't the Bible say? And I have to say, no, I'm sorry. There's no place in the Bible that says to make each other happy. Paul talks about it in the negative, of course, when he says, if you're married, your desire will be to make your spouse happy, and they'll be focusing on that instead of on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the problem. That gets you into trouble. And the truth is, the more we focus on Christ, the happier our marriage, but we kind of get that messed up. We want to focus on each other. Treat your spouse like, hey, you're my happy meal. Dance. Do the thing. Whatever it takes, right? Fix me, baby. Fix me. Make me happy. I feel broken. Fix me. Should be a blues song. We're acting like God Himself when we demand that somebody else be responsible for our emotions. It's a terrible thing. And believe me, it happens both ways. Men that demand to be the king of the castle and tell their wives to satisfy them. Women say, you take care of me. You do what I want. You talk to me the way I want. You act the way I want. I sat with a couple just a couple days ago, and every time he tried to talk, she'd reach over and shush him. That's a room full of people. And some of them were pastors, and so everybody's eyes were lighting up, you know,
Whoa.
Now, given she was twice his size, so it makes you wonder what goes on, one controlling another. It's never good. You know, and some people will say to me, Dr. Mark, you're just feeding us that pie in the sky by and by stuff. That's all you're saying. You'll be happy when you get to heaven. Well, I believe that that's true. And the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, right? I'm not really trying to feed you pie in the sky by and by. I'm trying to get you to see and understand something that's very important. Something in the here and now. What and why the emptiness is we have inside that causes us to run around and spend our energy and waste our money and time. Because if you understand what that emptiness is, you can stop. You say, well, that's not going to get it. And yes, the slice of pie that will fill the hunger is the fellowship of the living God and being in heaven. That's true. That is in our future. We can be in the presence of God now, though. And as Paul says, it'd be better to be in heaven than here. You know, beam me up, Lord. Don't we all, during times of praise and worship, song and prayer, don't all of us have this experience of great joy and happiness? Don't we get a taste of the heavenly happy meal? Bless you. Don't we all at times become overwhelmed by the Spirit of God and just a time of joy and peace? The true happy meal. Do you ever feel satisfied after being in the presence of God in your time of prayer? That's what we should all be feeling. Do not chase after the wind, as Solomon said. Do not wreck your lives trying to get this that will not work. The happiness is short term. I once wanted a motorcycle. I got one. I got on the motorcycle. Second day. Hailstorm. No helmet. 70 miles an hour in a hailstorm. Most of my hair went that day. Bend your head down. Try to slow down. It just beats the top of your head to death. The happiness left. The motorcycle went in the garage. And as I decided, you know, it's spring in Iowa, and there's nothing but tornadoes and thunderstorms, so I'll wait until the fall. We make that mistake of simply trying to have something, and when we don't get it, often we're like those little kids. But worse, we become anxious. We're desperate to get it. It's hard to imagine that a happy meal and a side order of anxiety is in the same meal, on the same plate. It is the same thing. Because see, we are striving for that happy meal, that joy, that peace, and desperately looking for it. And if we can't get it, if we get it and we find out it's not true, we become anxious. And that doesn't work. And everybody here knows I talk about anxiety a lot because it is the principal thing that destroys people today. The striving for joy and the happy meal and the anxiety come from the same place. Feeling anxious is never a good thing. Brother Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yet it seems like we don't think about it that way. We seem like we're anxious every time we can't get what we want. Every time we begin to think that we won't achieve what we're going to achieve. I refer to this as small God syndrome, that we just actually think God has somehow gotten real small and can't handle our needs. We don't pray. We don't seek Him. We become more anxious. We become more desperate to feel happy, to have that joy. So we strive even harder to get that happy meal. You see how they work hand in hand. The anxiety propels you towards the happy meal. And when you get it, okay. Like a motorcycle in a hailstorm. Things change. Anxiety of the mind is a problem. It's great discomfort. Anxiety of the mind is actually tension in the body, the opposite of joy and happiness and feeling like dancing. Anxiety, you feel like fighting or hiding. Those chemicals, cortisol and adrenaline, cause great tension in the body. And usually the body will release the endorphins to counteract it, to balance it out so that you start to feel normal again. You can't enjoy your happy meal when you're anxious. And you know what? I've watched the kids have a fit about getting something and sitting down and they're eating their sandwich and they're not happy because they have a fit. They're sitting there and they're pouting while they're eating their happy meal. Because see, that anxiety doesn't help the happiness. Neither does picking a fit. The truth is, and when you're anxious, you don't think about happiness, you think about getting back to normal. The little kids are just after power and control, that's right. That's what they want, right? They start out by being that infant, to have total power and control over mom. Rant, I'm dirty, boom, change. Rant, I'm hungry, boom, food. Rant, come look in my face and play with me. They control the parents. They get older, they start to get 4 and 5, and they still want to control them. They get into McDonald's and they have a method. It's screaming so loud they embarrass you. And you learn to respond to it. God made duct tape for a reason. Kidding, I'm kidding. Is that politically incorrect? Okay. The song in Petra that I talked about earlier has a break in it. Jesus told us that men would hate us, but we must be of good cheer. He has overcome this world of darkness, and soon we will depart from here and be where we belong and find the happy meal. The greatest source of anxiety in our lives is the sense of rejection. See, Jesus told us men would hate us, and don't worry, because they hated me first, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. That rejection was so painful. The rejection was the cross. Being rejected by his own, he nailed him to a tree. It is painful. And for us, we will be rejected by people as Christians. I thought that so powerfully at the university. Secular universities don't like Christians, especially the psychology departments. And so you don't like it. You want out of it. You want to escape the anxiety. Problem is, even though all of us dislike anxiety, sometimes we choose it. We fail to pray and cast our cares upon Jesus Christ, the one who can handle it all. We choose not to pray, so we choose anxiety. In this world, we're going to have cares. In this world, we're going to have anxiety. Jesus told us that, but I'm here. I've overcome. But we don't pray. We don't seek Him. And so we're left with that. That makes us even more desperate for the happy meal. Happy meal failure makes us so anxious. When we get what we want and it flops, we become so anxious. Because we begin to question ourselves in this superior brain. Well, I thought that would make me happy. Boy, did I waste my time, my energy, my money? What's the matter with me? And that makes us anxious. When we become anxious, we put out a lot of energy attempting to get back to normal. I didn't say feel happy, I just said get back to normal. The moment of feeling anxiety, we simply want to go back to what's normal and get rid of the anxiety. Our God gets small, as I said, so we don't pray and we suffer needlessly. The happy meal then becomes our God. Because when we get it, then all of a sudden we feel so good for that moment. And so we begin to search. I won't feel anxious if I get that. I won't have this discomfort inside if I get that. I won't have this hunger if I just get that. Every one of us will at times stumble into this condition. All of us do. I got a new guitar pedal the other day. I haven't plugged it in yet. I like guitar pedals. I haven't used very many of them here for fear of scaring y'all. Guitar pedals do strange things. My new guitar pedal will allow me to touch a button and turn my six-string guitar into a bass. It's called an Octaver. It's only $24. That's really cool. So I watched it on YouTube and yeah, when I got home and I looked at it and I thought, hey, I'll plug it in some other time. And it already lost its happy meal effect. And I hadn't even plugged it in. In a few Sundays, you'll get to see it, and I'll be happy. It's nice to make your guitar sound like a bass. Don't chase after the wind and wreck your life. Don't do that. Don't get caught up in this, making your happy meal your God, whatever it is. Don't get fooled by the world, what it says, that you have to have this and you have to have that. Don't do that. It's not good to go from the happy meal to anxiety back and forth. That will give you real indigestion. Both are just from the world. Because by the same thinking, you are forgetting God. You're forgetting the truth of where you belong and who you need to be with. That anxiety and that striving after the wind will tear you up and ruin your life. The cure is the same. The Word of God and the power of the Spirit. The Word of God, the power of Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to take care of things. When Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Simple message, right? Rejoice in the Lord. You choose to rejoice in God. Paul uses that term rejoice over half of the 74 times that we find it in the Bible. And he was the most beat up, stoned, whipped man that there was. And he's telling us to rejoice. That humbles me. This encouraging command tells us how we should meet adversity in our lives. Because of this fallen condition of us, we all choose not to rejoice in the Lord. We will have fleeting moments of happiness in the happy meal and experience that will fill our hearts for a moment. But that momentary delight and pleasure doesn't work, and it frustrates us. Truly rejoicing only comes from the Lord. In Psalms, we see the power of rejoicing. Psalm 31:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. 33:1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Psalm 40:16. But all those who seek thee, rejoice and be glad in thee. That such as love thy salvation, say continually. the Lord be magnified. Psalm 71:23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Psalm 97:12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. When we are born again believers, and we choose to obey and rejoice God, things are different. The emotions of gladness, cheering, yea, Jesus, yea, God, thank you for being in my life. The true happiness are produced. Anxiety is gone. Because the object of our emotions is always the source of our true joy. The object of our emotions, when it's Jesus Christ and the Lord, is the source of our true joy and happiness. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior King, our Creator. When the object of our joy is these simple things on earth, these physical things, these individual experiences, we will fall flat. When we seek God in prayer for our salvation, when we seek God in prayer for the situation we're in, then we have true security and peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. The precious promise removes anxiety. Further, God protects our hearts and minds from anxiety by way of peace. Peace is insulation, inoculation. In this war of anxiety, and that's really what it is, Paul says something that's interesting. But I see another law in my members, Paul writes, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, Romans 7:23. That's the war. That's the fight. It's up here. We're not for the peace. That peace that passes understanding, that peace that exceeds our understanding, we would quickly succumb to the fact that in this world we shall have tribulations. But Jesus also said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It says that in John 16:33. The world gives us anxiety. It's a terrible side dish. Anxiety is the response to the worldly happy meal. That's all we get in the long run, is anxiety. The peace of God is a supernatural peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, not as the world giveth, in John 14:27. It comes through the things I have spoken unto you, Jesus said, that are in me, you might have peace. That in me, you might have peace. Since, however, this kind of supernatural guaranteed and God-given peace comes from and through the message of the Scripture, the peace must rule in our hearts and minds, as it says in Colossians 3:15. There can be no vacillation, no hesitation. We can't let that happen. We can't let anything confuse us about the source of our true peace, our true happiness. The authority, the capability, or the stability of such peace is Jesus Christ alone. He is our happiness. He is our joy. He is our peace. To become worldly minded, to think of the world's promises regarding happiness or anxiety fails us completely. If we think about the world, we will fail. If we think about the world, we will be anxious. Paul says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful. In Colossians 3:15. Do not chase after this worldly lust, and thereby deny your home in heaven and the joy and happiness from Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't chase after both. It doesn't work. In the midst of all the turmoil that surrounds us today, we need to let our hope be in Jesus, our joy be in Jesus, our peace be in Jesus, our happiness be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it must be evident for everyone to see. Then give the reason for the smile on our face. And the question is, do we even have a smile on our face? Have we been so busy chasing after the stuff that we're finding, filled with our anxiety and our despair? Would you stand with me this morning? You see, this is really a sermon about great happiness. When we understand that these foolish things that we do are really just a natural response to what is in us all, the hunger, the need for Jesus Christ to be present in our lives. Oops, I better back up. When we understand that, things change. If this is the struggle that you have, or if you do not even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, sorry for the joke, but the true happy meal, if you don't know Him, if you find yourself desperate in your life chasing after these things, and you'd like prayer, well, we're hearing our song of invitation and singing it. Why don't you come forward? I'd be happy to pray with you about this.
Oh,
wonderful to hear you. I know of a couple of requests. One, Brother Wayne on his way here came across what looked like a fatality accident. I'm not sure, on Highway 5 where a car had gone over. No fatality? Okay. Well, that's good. So, Becky, we need to pray for that. And we need to continue to pray for this young fellow over here in red. Pastor Rick, our brother in the Lord, that his healing would continue rapid and successful. Are there any other prayer requests this morning? Say again, please. We will continue. He actually let me pray with him just a little bit. He's on his way out last week. That was pretty good. Little boys on earth, my prayer. That changes quick when you get in trouble and they're older. Anything else? Okay. Remember those things of prayer. Look, Rick, do you have a closing prayer?
Our Father, we thank you for the message today and the reminder that we truly are strangers in this world. Your word says at one time we were strangers and aliens to your covenants, but we who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we have the privilege of being called your sons and daughters. This was a good thing in your eyes, Lord, and we thank you and praise you that of your own free will, you have forgiven us of our sins and made us born again. We lift up these requests that have been mentioned, this young man in the accident. We pray that you will touch him and heal him, Lord, that you will be with his family as they stand beside him at this time. We ask that you be with Briar. We ask for a quick healing with the surgery he's had. Be with Leanne as she's getting ready to give birth, and we just ask your blessing upon that family. We thank you for the good word we heard here. I ask that you go with each and every one of us to our houses and keep us safe this week from harm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. There's no rock, there's no rock.